The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" The man said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with a great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do we have any Lizzo fans in the house? Oh, come on. Nobody here? Look, you lag. I love. Yeah. Good. I'm a Lizzo fan. Lizzo is a pop artist, Grammy award-winning pop artist. She's awesome. And I'm a big fan of hers. Well, this week, if this made national news, Lizzo released a new song. What is it? Girls? Right, yeah, okay. Good song. And as soon as this song was released, there was some backlash. Persons with disabilities and advocates for persons of disabilities raised their hands and said, "Lizzo, this is not like you. You've used a slur in this word that we consider to be very derogatory as persons with disabilities, and we just think you could do better." And without fuss, without, you know, making a big scene, Lizzo went back to the studio 4 days later, re-recorded the line, came out, re-released the song, and she just said, "I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I really didn't mean to hurt anyone. I'm learning, and I ask for forgiveness." I love that. No defenses, right? Sometimes when things like that happen, right, our defenses rise up and we say, "Well, I'm an artist. I can say whatever I want," or "Don't police my language," or whatever. We know those things. But I don't think Lizzo's a Lutheran, but Lizzo did this thing that I really wish she was Lutheran, because she just exemplified what I think Paul is talking about in the book of Galatians when he says, "You have put on Christ," which means that you are free. And I really wish Lizzo was Lutheran, because this is exactly the kind of freedom that we as Lutheran Christians are called to. Freedom to fail and say, "I need some forgiveness and I'm sorry." That's true freedom. And if you didn't know it, Luther's name actually wasn't Luther. He wasn't born Martin Luther. In fact, he was born Martin Luther. So we could all be Lutherans if you'd like. But there's a, that's not very good. But there was a tradition in academia in the 1500s that when you became a scholar, you had to change your name to something more Latin or Greek sounding, right? To be more, I don't know, to be much more official sounding. So Martin Luther, being Martin Luther, or Martin Luther, he was just steeped in exactly what Paul is talking about in Galatians, steeped in the kind of clothing in Christ, right, that we are made free in the waters of baptism. So he named himself Martinus Eleutherius. That's how he would sign his name, Martinus Eleutherius. And if you know Greek, Eleutherius means the one who is free, the one who is clothed in Christ. Martinus Eleutherius. So that's actually where our name comes from. Lutherans, we put on that name. We are the free ones. So I think Lizzo's a Lutheran, but that's a different argument. But we are so free. You know, do we have any fathers who have ever made a mistake as a parent in your lives? Yeah. Ron, your hand didn't go up. No. No, fathers, I'm not talking about the kind of mistakes where your kid tells you you made a mistake. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of mistake that keeps you up at night, that you say, oh, I'm just a failure. Man, I didn't react as well as I could. My dad would have done it this way, and I did it this way, and oh. Well, fathers, hear me loud and clear. It is precisely that place. It is precisely that place where you are clothed in the garments of Jesus, which make you free. Yes, you failed. I have failed. If being a dad these 3 years has taught me anything, it's that failure is the name of the game. But we're made free by the waters of baptism, by the love of God, to fail, to raise our hands, and to say, I'm so sorry. We can even apologize to our kids sometimes. I'm so sorry. Please, I'll try again. So what's all this have to do with demons? What's all this have to do with this Gerasene demoniac who comes to Jesus? Well, first of all, we notice that the man, as he runs down the hillside, I can't imagine what Jesus was thinking, because he's screaming, and he's screaming Jesus' name, and we know he's naked, right? So he is running down towards Jesus, and he's saying, I don't want anything to do with you. And I think as 21st century Christians, we don't always know what to make of demons, right? It's not really part of our language. Sometimes even as I'm reading things like that, I think, gosh, I don't really talk about demons very often. So some of us, sometimes we try to read demon stories and we think about things like mental illness. And as a person steeped in a family lineage with lots of mental illness, I can say that, you know, that can be a helpful reading. As a person with mental illness, I can say, yeah, okay, so maybe this guy has some kind of illness or some kind of epilepsy or something, and Jesus is more powerful than that. Okay, that's a good reading. But I think we also have other experiences in our lives as a community where we know something of the power of this demon that approaches Jesus, or this man possessed with demons. As the man says his name, Jesus says, what's your name? And the man says, Legion. And there's a lot going on. That's a loaded word. The 10th legion of the Roman army was stationed in Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, these 60,000 centurions sacked and burned the temple. And it said that in the retribution after the revolt against Rome, about 1 million Jews were murdered by this 10th Legion. So this is a very loaded word, legion. It's meant to convey a force that you cannot defeat, let alone a force that can be defeated by one person. I mean, Rome's legions were just invincible killing machines. This is not an easy thing to deal with. I think we know what it is to be people who live in a society or who live in a world that is filled with legions of forces that we ourselves cannot deal with alone. And as as we confessed this morning around the font, I think racism is one of these forces. No matter how much we do as individuals, it doesn't seem to make a dent. No matter how much we do one step at a time, it feels like the last word is always this ugly history that has this, it just rears its head and starts screaming. Notice that the demon lives among the dead places, right? It lives in its history. It's bound up, and yet it still breaks free. A number of weeks ago in Buffalo, there was a shooting. 11 people were murdered in a grocery store, people of color. And the man who shot them left a manifesto of white supremacy before he went. That's a demon rearing its head. This force that we can try to bind it, we can try to tie it up, we can try to tell ourselves that it doesn't exist, but it still comes back up. We know those things. We know those forces. There was a march in Washington, D.C. last week, remembering the victims of both the Buffalo massacre and the massacre in Uvalde. And it was a march for our lives, asking our country, hey, think about the way that we think about guns in this country, because racism and gun rights and all these things are all sort of interlocked as issues. And in the middle of a time of silence for the victims of the Buffalo shooting, a man yelled out in the crowd, "I have a gun." And the crowds went scattering, almost trampling one another to death. This is the sound of a demon. That even those words, "I have a gun," can leave thousands of people fleeing and fearful for their lives. So the question for us today is, what does it mean to be people of faith in the face of a world that has legions of forces that we can't necessarily take care of ourselves? And I think today it's clear, and I think Paul has given us the roadmap. It's the work around the font. It's the work saying, I've failed. I have failed at this, and I really want to try again. It is this freedom to be people who show up and say, you know what? Yes, our church has been a part of systemic racism. Yes, we've been a part of this. Maybe we knew, maybe we didn't know, but you know what? We are free in Christ to try, and we are free in Christ to acknowledge, and we are freed in Christ to do better again. This is the gift of faith. There are some people who might say, well, it's all cynical, sort of political posturing. You know what Lizzo did or what we did around the font, you know, is that virtue signaling? Well, you can look at that world, or you can look at this world that way. But we don't follow somebody who spread cynicism. We don't follow somebody who looked at the legion of demons and said, you know, I think you're just acting out a little bit. We follow Jesus, who says, no, this is not what God desires for you. So we will show up. In the book of Luke, where this gospel comes from, Jesus is always the one doing the healing, right? Jesus does the healing. Jesus throws the demons out. But if you didn't know this, Luke is part of a two-part book. First part is Luke. The second part is the book of Acts. Same author, same story. In the first part, Jesus is doing the healing. And in the second part, the disciples are doing the healing. And that's us. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, called to acknowledge our part in things like systemic racism, and then called to say, I don't desire this for you. We'll try again. We're called to follow in the footsteps of that great Lutheran prophet, Lizzo, to raise our hands and say, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I'll do better. We're free. Thanks be to God. Amen.